Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. The readings for this Sunday, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crime, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for today's Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said to the man sick of the palsy, Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, He blasphemeth. And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the man sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared, and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Thus are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. When you see the priest, think of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, what would make St. Teresa of Avila kiss the ground that a priest walked over? Or what would make St. John Vianney say that he would, if he was met by an angel and a priest, would first greet the priest before greeting the angel? It's because of what the priest is. And it might be good to consider this, what a priest is and the reverence owed to a priest, since yesterday, Ember Saturday, was a day traditionally dedicated to ordaining priests, and in today's epistle and gospel we have certain allusions to this ministry of the priesthood. We can ask, well, what is a priest? St. John Vianney, he tells us, he says, a priest is a man who holds the place of God, a man who is invested with all the powers of God. He is truly an alter Christus, another Christ. And we can see this by looking at our Lord, the eternal high priest, and what he says to the priest he sends after him. Our Lord, the eternal high priest, he tells his apostles and all of their successors, he says, As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The Father, he sent his Son into the world so that by becoming man, he could die on the cross, offer the sacrifice of expiation, and redeem mankind. That is why the Father sent his Son into the world. And our Lord says, As the Father sent me, so send I also send you. It's for the same reason that the priest is sent into the world, to continue this work of the eternal high priest, to continue the incarnation of our Lord, to continue the redemption of our Lord, the sacrifice of Calvary through the Mass. That is what the priest is all about. But God doesn't do this in some remote, intangible way. No, he does it by making himself one with his priest. And that is why we call the priest another Christ, an alter Christus. This is a sublime mystery. How Almighty God, through the priestly character, he marks this man and makes him another Christ, so identified with our Lord that our Lord can say, He who hears you hears me. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. They are so identified. This truly is a man who holds the place of God, and we see that especially in the Mass. When the priest goes up to the altar, he is so identified with our Lord Jesus Christ, the priest and the victim, that he completely disappears. It is there only our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in all truth that the priest says, This is my body. Of course, it's not his body, but he is so identified with our Lord at that point that our Lord in him and through him says, This is my body. And our Lord works that wonderful miracle of transubstantiation, which renews his incarnation and renews his act of sacrifice on Calvary. It is through his priest that he does this, Father so-and-so completely disappearing, and our Lord there acting through him. We see it again in the confessional, the same thing happening, where the priest disappears and our Lord Jesus Christ tells the penitent soul kneeling there, I absolve thee of all thy sins. Just as in today's gospel, he told that paralytic, be of good heart, son, your sins are forgiven thee. And it's interesting because the Pharisees were absolutely right. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Who has omnipotent power to forgive sin but God alone? That is absolutely true. And it's that omnipotent power that our Lord has and which he gives to his priest, and which the priest works, uses in the confessional as another Christ. This is a power that wasn't given to the angels to say Mass, to hear a confession. It was a power that wasn't even given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The priest truly is this additional humanity for our Lord, a way for our Lord to walk this earth still in the person of his priest. And all the good that our Lord intends for us, all the good that he does for us, it's done through his priest. St. John Vianney, he elaborates on that. Who placed our Lord there in the tabernacle? It was the priest. Who was it that received your soul on its entrance into life? The priest. Who nourishes it to give it strength to make its pilgrimage? The priest. Who will prepare it to appear before God by washing that soul for the last time in the blood of Jesus Christ? The priest. Always the priest. And if that soul comes to the point of death, who will raise it up? Who will restore it to calmness and peace? Again, the priest. You cannot recall one single blessing from God without finding, side by side with his recollection, with this recollection, the image of the priest. Every blessing comes through him because he is so identified with our Lord. He is truly Jesus amongst us. And it's for this reason that we reverence the priest. It's not because he is Father so-and-so, but it is because he is another Christ, because he takes the place of Christ and stands in Christ's place. But my dear faithful, we have to realize this is not just some abstract reality. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he chooses a real human being to be his priest, a real human being with all of his faults, with all of his failings, with all of his weakness, all of the defects of his character, all of his qualities too. He chooses this particular person to become his priest. Through the ordination of the priest, of course, there's a transformation in this man's soul. But that doesn't make him, by that very fact, a saint. The priest has to work to become a saint, to be worthy of his calling. But the fact remains, the priest is still a human being. And we need to exercise faith when we look at the priest because of that fact. Because the priest is still a human being, we have to exercise faith. It is a mystery of faith. We have to, beyond this human being, see our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want, my dear faithful, you could compare it to the miracle that happens during Mass. Of course, we have to use caution here. But our Lord, he transforms a piece of bread into his flesh. There's this miraculous change, so that now is our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The fact remains, it still looks like a piece of bread. It is our Lord, but it looks like bread. In a similar way, Almighty God, he takes this person, this man, and he marks him with the character of the priesthood. And there is a wonderful transformation that takes place where this man now becomes another Christ, Jesus amongst us. And yet the fact remains that he is still a human being. And what we first see is that human being with all the faults and failings, qualities to everything. And so we do need to exercise faith, just like we exercise faith in the Blessed Sacrament. It's really our Lord there. We have to do the same with the priest. It's really our Lord there, beyond this human exterior. We need that faith which the Pharisees and the scribes lacked today when they came face to face with our Lord's divinity, but they still wouldn't believe and said he blasphemes. They couldn't go past the humanity to see the divinity. Maybe we're in danger of that too, with the priest and not going past the humanity of the priest, to see the character of the priesthood behind that. It is perhaps a danger. It's a fact, and a very unfortunate one, that the devil attacks priests. There's been an attack on the priesthood since the beginning of the church, in fact. You can see it all through history, and it makes sense. The devil knows what good a priest can do. He knows that the priest is our Lord's instrument for helping and saving souls. There's an archbishop in Canada in the early 20th century who said that he didn't think it was any exaggeration to say a priest will help 5,000 souls. He'll save them from eternal fires, the eternal fires of hell. And so it's in the devil's best interest, and his malicious interest, to attack the priest. That being said, there is an attack against priests where the devil, very insidiously, he presents to the world the humanity of the priest so that everyone forgets about the fact that the priest is still Christ. Is the representative of Christ, I should say. And so we had this time where grave scandals, this failure of the priest, humanly speaking, was presented in a very gross way to the whole world. But there's a more silent and maybe more insidious attack with some of the errors of Vatican II. As you know, the priest, he was divested of everything that makes him a priest. It was in the spirit of Vatican II that they would say that the priest is just like anyone else. And so you'd find these priests in Hawaiian shirts and shorts, not showing himself as a consecrated man of God. Or, you know, during the Mass, being this president of an assembly, no longer the man of the sacrifice, offering sacrifice to God. Or in the confessional, not any longer the man who forgives the sins of the world, but rather this social worker who just sits there to console people. They are presenting to the world just a human, not our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is a real danger, and we need to make sure that we don't fall into that, where we look at the priest merely as a man, and so lack the respect and reverence we should have for Christ in that man. Now I know saying this, that in some degree I'm preaching to the choir, because thank God, traditional Catholics have such a tremendous reverence for their priests, and God bless them for that. But it is still something we need to be aware of. We can fall into seeing just the external, see the humanity of the priest, and we can do it in really two ways. In one way, the qualities of the priest can become a screen, so we don't see any longer our Lord in the priest. But it could be, too, that the defects of the priest become a screen. So if we look at those qualities, what can happen is a priest, because he's very charismatic, very outgoing, he has all these wonderful qualities, people attach themselves to him, and there becomes this sort of personality cult. And you can think of those tragic circumstances where perhaps a priest has strayed away from his vocation. He has in some way or another gone astray. But because people are so attached to his person, they no longer are looking to Christ in the man, but looking only at the man, they go with him. And what a tragedy that is. So that can happen, but more often what happens is it's the priest's defects that will cause people only to see the priest as a human being. Because it is true, as I've said, the priest still does have faults and failings. He is still a man. And what can happen is when we see that, we can forget that this man still represents Christ. That this man, that our Lord said of this man, he who hears you hears me. But we can close our ears off to what the priest has to say because we don't want to hear it, because we just don't like Father so-and-so. Maybe even just his manner. It's just not, I don't like him. And so we stop listening. And then we fall into perhaps gossip or criticism. And really what's there is this Protestant mentality. Well, you know, I might not like Father so-and-so, so I'm going to attach myself to Father this other priest. And being choosing which priest suits our fancy. And really what we're doing is we're just going to where we're comfortable. We're going to where we're going to hear what we want to hear. Our Lord also warns us, he who despises you despises me, and speaking of the priest. He who does not hear the priest doesn't hear our Lord. So we do need to make sure we have this respect for the priest based on not the fact that he's a human being, no, based on the fact that he is our Lord Jesus Christ amongst us, that he is another Christ. Even in the very worst of cases, this monstrosity of a sinful priest, even if that were to happen, our Lord still expects us to respect him. He told the Jews when he walked this earth about the Pharisees, he said, they have sat in the chair of Moses. And even though they tell you things and then they don't do them themselves, still listen to them. And if that's true of the Pharisees who sat on the chair of Moses, how much more true is it of the priest of our Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't sit on the chair of Moses, but represents our Lord, Almighty God himself? How much more should we listen to him, even if, God forbid, he leads this sinful life? And this should lead us also to pray for the priests. As I said, the priests are under attack. We need to pray for them. Our Lord gave them so much, but he expects a lot from them as well. And that's something that makes every priest tremble, to think, God is going to call me to account for everything I did. Even my slightest little faults that hurt a soul, I have to answer for that. The priest is painfully aware of that. And so please do pray for your priests, that they can become truly holy priests. And we say so often, O Lord, grant us holy priests. And of course, we mean by that that we want God to give us more vocations, of course. But we can also mean with that little prayer, God grant us holy priests, that those who already are priests can become holy priests. My dear faithful, when we look at the priest, we have to see our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, then we will receive the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ for that act of faith and penetrating past the veils of this human being and seeing our Lord there. As St. John Vianney tells us, when you see the priest, think of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.